Dr. DeFusco?
I wonder whether we need to also factor into this equation what happens with our younger patients who may go into premature menopause and then get older. What is the effect of losing natural estrogen at a younger age, and how does that impact on later cardiovascular health? And that's something I worry about in a lot of the young women, because I don't think we know the answer to that. And to what degree might that factor in also into the trastuzumab potential risk?
That's a very good point, because outside of the cancer treatment experience, if you factor in menopausal status, hormonal status into cardiovascular risk, it becomes more important than age, than chronological age. So what you say does ring true. I haven't seen it specifically for chemotherapy-induced menopause, but for other forms of premature menopause, it undoubtedly contributes to premature cardiovascular disease. Yes.
Barbara? There's another aspect, I think, too, that I'm sure all of us who take care of breast cancer have noticed, that a lot of the patients who look the healthiest in the waiting room who may have stage 4 disease are usually the breast cancer patients who are obese. And it does seem, and I have a patient that I listed who has had a gradual, tremendous weight gain over the past 14 years that I've been taking care of her. And, you know, I have another patient now who can't lose weight on Herceptin. She's put on about 10 pounds, but she's extremely active and she can't get rid of it. I also wonder about the SEER data being a little out of date as to where we are now. For the past couple of years, I think most of us have been quite encouraging about exercise, you know, after a diagnosis, and realizing the value of staying closer to your ideal body weight for your breast cancer, but also for your longevity from other common causes in the United States. The older patients in my group, I can't change their behavior very easily, but the premenopausal patients seem very motivated to doing everything possible, and many of them do even take up exercise at that point in time, and all of them pretty much stop smoking.
Yeah, you wonder whether or not maybe the focus on breast cancer and the concern about breast cancer and the whole psychology of going through adjuvant therapy, and, you know, maybe that does divert people a little bit away from focusing on cardiovascular disease. Now we have the WIND study suggesting maybe dietary fat reduction will reduce relapse. There's data suggesting exercise maybe will reduce relapse. So maybe the oncology office needs to be a little bit more pro-health oriented.
Absolutely.
Let's go to Dr. DeFusco's case.
This is a 59-year-old nurse who first presented to me in August of 2005. She'd had a routine mammogram that showed a new rounded soft tissue density in the lateral right breast. An ultrasound confirmed it was solid. She subsequently went on to excisional biopsy and had a 2.2-centimeter invasive ductal carcinoma, no lymphovascular invasion, grade 3. Revised margins were reportedly negative initially, and the initial sentinel node was said to be negative. She subsequently had the pathology reviewed, and it was felt that there was satellitosis with this 2.2-centimeter lesion. It was grade 3. There was a micromet in one sentinel lymph node on frozen section only, measuring 5 millimeters. The ER was 3 out of 8. The PR was negative. The HER2 by IHC was 3+, and the FISH was positive at 5.63. In 1969, when she was 22, she was diagnosed with Hodgkin's disease. She had a mediastinoscopy. She had mantle radiation at that time. 6 months later, she recurred in the right groin and was treated with MOP for 6 cycles and received radiation to the groin. Over time, it was noted that she had a heart murmur that reportedly changed, and at some point, a cardiac cath led to a diagnosis of aortic stenosis. I'm not sure exactly when in that time frame. In January of 2004, so a year and a half before her diagnosis of breast cancer, she had dyspnea. She had an AV gradient of 36 millimeters of mercury, and she had a RV end systolic pressure of 38 millimeters of mercury. She had a cardiac cath at about that time. Her pulmonary artery pressures were 45 over 23 with a mean of 23. Her LVEF was normal. Her coronary arteries were normal, and the calculated AV area was 1 square centimeter. And the mean AV gradient by cath was 30 millimeters of mercury. And they also said she had mild to moderate AI on the cath. January of 2005, so 7 months before diagnosis, her EF by echo was 65 to 75%, and she had an AV gradient of 25 millimeters of mercury. She had some hyperglycemia controlled by diet, and she had some hyperlipidemia and was put on Zocor. So that's what I had as my basis of information when I had to make my treatment decision.
And you had her looked at by a cardiologist?
She had been followed regularly by a cardiologist, and I specifically spoke with the cardiologist, and I said, can I give this woman anthracycline-based chemotherapy? Is her cardiac function good enough for that? And they said yes.
So your hope was, or what you would have done without any cardiac issues, would have been what treatment specifically were you going to give her?
I was going to go ahead with AC followed by Taxol and add in the Herceptin. We were going to do that. And we had talked about initially doing the AC followed by Taxol dose dense. And as we decided that we were going to go with the Herceptin, I wanted to try to convert her to Q-week times 12 Taxol, but she wanted to just do the dose dense and get the Taxol over with.
So first, let's just start with, what does it sound like is going on cardiac-wise, Dr. Steingarten? And is there a relationship between aortic stenosis and mantle radiation?
Absolutely. There's a nice series from Gainesville and from Stanford about long-term radiation effects with the mantle and in Hodgkin's, and aortic regurgitation is usually the lesion, but mixed aortic stenosis and regurgitation is possible. She is in the age group where it's conceivable that it's a congenital bicuspid valve having nothing to do with the therapy, but I think that there's enough evidence to say that mantle radiation therapy does predispose to aortic valve disease. May I ask, why was the catheterization initiated? Was she symptomatic? Did people suspect that she was symptomatic?
You know, I don't have all that data, but based on the notes, I believe she was symptomatic with some dyspnea, and that's what led to the echo and the catheterization in January of 2004.
And she did not have the valve replaced?
No, they didn't think the valve
replaced. They didn't think that the symptoms were attributable to this. It's a borderline sort of case.
Correct.
As to the severity of the aortic stenosis. And in a symptomatic patient, you would think hard about whether or not you would replace the aortic valve.
So your second cardiologic opinion, what about anthracycline, what about trastuzumab?
The ejection fraction of 65 to 75%, and her dimensions were normal, and now she's not symptomatic. She's physically...
She's working full-time, and she's not symptomatic.
I might put her on a treadmill and gauge her physiological response to exercise to convince myself that even if she weren't being considered for chemotherapy with this borderline aortic valve measurement, that she in fact had normal exercise tolerance. So I would hedge my diagnosis by doing a cautious exercise test and look at the physiological response to exercise in terms of her blood pressure, her physical exam after exercise, and see if she had a reasonably normal exercise tolerance for age. And if she did, I would, with one hand on the brake, say it would be reasonable to give chemotherapy, but I would be concerned that she would be predisposed to heart failure.